Thank you. As a reminder, today's conference call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may now begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, good evening to everyone. On today's call, we have Mason Cole, Chris Chaplow, Steve Holston. On staff, we have Scott Pinson, Julie Headland, Ken Bauer, Linda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Apologies, we have Vinek Lobel, Avery Doria, and Fouad Bajwa. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. All right, we have really only two agenda items for today. And Julie, are you taking notes as usual?
Yes, I am, Mason.
All right, thank you. So I wanted to get just a quick overview of status and then talk a bit about Seoul. I have a couple of questions for the staff on the call in that regard. And then Scott and Ken are going to take the remainder of the hour to talk about the new GNSO website. Oh, and Gisela is asking us if we'll please make sure and state our names when we speak. I think that excuse me, I think that helps with the transcript.
Yes, thank you.
And I do need to limit this until the top of the hour because I'm chairing the registrar's meeting in 55 minutes from now. So I'm going to go from one meeting to the next. So let's just have a quick overview of where we are in terms of our recommendations, and then I'd like to talk about Seoul. So Ken and Steve, would you give us a brief update on where you all are? I think you're pretty well finished, right, unless there's something else to add.
This is Ken. Yeah, I mean, what Scott's going to talk about in the next hour is critical to answering that question.
Okay. Steve, anything you want to add there?
No, I just want to make sure, Ken, that we keep our eye on phase two as well, if there's anything that we need to report on phase two.
Yeah, again, that's really where Scott's presentation is going to take us.
Okay.
You're going to see the next phase of the work that we started with the requirements a while back.
Right. Great.
All right, very good. Now, I also have some brief recommendations from Zbinek on the translation and that part of the set of recommendations. For my part, I admit I'm a bit behind in terms of creating a first draft of the document, and I realize time is getting short. It's my hope to be able to have something laid out and out to the group by the end of this week. So hopefully we'll have something that we can all review together. When we do, it would be my objective to make sure that first we've been as comprehensive as we need to be, and really no more comprehensive than that, and then and to make sure that the recommendations that we are making are in line with our rough consensus requirements in our charter. Does that sound like a correct plan to everyone?
Okay.
And Mason, I wanted to just make sure to ask this question because today on a registry constituency call, Chuck had asked that we check about the progress being made regarding coordination across ICANN bodies. And I think that that's been a large part of your subtask. So in advance of actually writing anything up, is there anything that I can let him know?
No, not specifically. It's interesting that you bring this up because I've heard from a couple of other folks on the OSC side of the GNSO reform who are, exchanging information about potential recommendations as it might impact, say, contracted parties.
Okay.
And so I know that some of that exchange is already going on, but I don't have anything specific to report at this point.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Gisela, it sounds to me like there's some kind of a noise on the line. Is it just me, or?
I heard it too, but it just went away.
Okay.
Now I'm going to get a sort to the operator.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, let's talk about Seoul for just a moment. I was asked by Chuck whether or not we need to meet as a group in Seoul. I'm not sure that we do. I know that the entire GNSO reform effort is pretty full and resources are scarce. So, I'm not opposed to go ahead and have a meeting if one's warranted, but at this point, well, I guess I have one other question, and it's primarily to Ken or any of the other staff on the call. Do we, you know, at some point are we going to need to make a presentation in Seoul or beyond that in terms of our recommendations, or is it just to sort of finish your recommendations and turn them in to the OSC?
Mason, this is Julie. I can address that.
Please do.
There is no requirement that you make a presentation at Seoul. I think that what...
Sorry, that's Chris's line.
Sorry. What this team can do is to produce its recommendations when, you know, it feels that they are complete and send them up to the Operations Steering Committee to consider. So if that happens before Seoul or after Seoul, that I think is dependent on the work of the team. I think, you know, there's a hope that the recommendations would be completed sooner rather than later. The only other point that I would make is that the mandate, the charter for this group is set to expire at Seoul, if I have that correct. It can be extended at that point by the GNSO Council, but that is a point of consideration.
Okay. Well, I still think it's this team's intention that our work be completed by Seoul. Does everyone agree with that?
This is Scott. The other comment I would add is that once you see the proposed website enhancements, it probably would be wise to go around to the GNSO constituencies, possibly even to the council, get a little bit of time on their agendas and just show them what we intend so that no one feels like the site was sprung on them as a surprise. We really would like to get input and make sure it's useful and helpful to its users. So while that may not require a separate session of just the CCT, we may want to get on the agenda of other groups within the GNSO to show them what we're up to.
That's a good point. All right. Thank you, Scott.
Well, we could, for example, with the registry's constituency, it meets every other Wednesday, so I could probably get – how long do you think we need, Scott, in order to show this demo?
It depends. This is Scott. It depends on how much feedback and discussion there needs to be. The presentation that we have in the can right now can occupy an hour, but we happily tailor it to whatever length is appropriate. But I would really welcome an opportunity to show it to your constituency before Seoul.
Yeah, because it's possible that if we made it fairly brief, like 15 minutes, just to give people a taste of it, that we could do it as early as 2 weeks from now.
And Scott, this is Mason speaking as in my capacity as chair of the registrars. I would tell you, I think because we don't meet. I mean, there are so many of us. We have 72 active members right now. Because we don't meet formally as a full constituency, other than in during ICANN meetings. What we may elect to do is just have a discussion over our email listserv about it. That would probably be more efficient, frankly.
Okay.
How would you demonstrate it over a list, though? Would you just send them a link to a...
Well, I guess what we could do as well is we could set up a time for interested parties to come, and Scott could lead a discussion. That might be a better way to do it, actually, now that I think about it.
You know, I like that idea generally, rather than necessarily having everybody from the registry constituency in only 15 rushed minutes, maybe we could just pick a time, and actually it could be registries, registrars, it could be anybody, right?
That's a great idea.
Hey, guys, this is Ken. I got a point of order. May I suggest that that you get a chance to see what it is we're talking about and then have this discussion at the end, because once you see it, you may have a different opinion about how it best could be delivered.
You're right, Ken. Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
You think we're going to want to sweep it under the rug, Ken?
No, I just think you'll see.
You'll be so excited you'll want to devote all of Seoul just to talking about this website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea. All right. Any other...
But Mason, in circling back about Do we think it's necessary to meet in Seoul?
Yes.
Not if we get the recommendations finalized. I don't think that we would. And I think that the document, the business requirements have already been written, and I think everybody's comfortable with those. The actual website is even beyond what our recommendations were going to be. That piece that you're putting together, I guess it remains to be seen whether, you know, how much there is to that. And I think that the piece that Zbigniew put together probably requires a little more editing before being a full-blown recommendation.
Yeah. I believe that's true.
I guess if you can get the document out to each of us by the end of this week, then certainly that gives plenty of time before our meeting 2 weeks from now. If the challenge is to take any editing swags at it and actually put pen to paper, I think that we could try to knock it out at the next meeting 2 weeks from now.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. All right, any other comments on meeting times or deadlines? Okay, so we have about 45 minutes left, so I want to turn the floor now over to Scott and Ken. So, gentlemen, just go ahead and take it away from here.
This is Scott. Thank you very much, Mason, and I'll tell you right up, we have a lot to show you and probably will not be able to complete it within the time remaining, but let's just see how far we can get and, you know, before the hour ends, we'll stop, take questions, whatever.
Okay.
Hopefully everyone now has the Adobe Connect link. Does anybody need me to read the link aloud who hasn't found their way there yet?
Nope.
Okay. The other thing I'll mention is I have PowerPoint full screen mode in order to some of the stuff is kind of finely detailed. It's to help you see it on your screen. So I won't see it if you click to raise your hand. Feel free to just speak up if you want to pose a question. All right, so here we go. The agenda of this little part of the session is, first of all, to explain to you the foundation for the decisions we made in trying to propose how the GNSO website should go. We'll show you where we're headed and then get guidance from you on what you think of it. So really our thrust here is there's a lot more detail to flesh out on the concepts we have, and we want to know from you if you think the direction we're heading works well enough that we should proceed down to the next level of detail. And perhaps more personally here, when we go to Seoul, we would like to present this as work product of this team. So the real question as you're watching today is this something you would sign your name to and say, yeah, you know, I'm on that team and this is what we produced? If not, we really would love to hear from you how to make it better or how to shape it so that you feel it's good product.
Okay.
So a little bit of foundation. What are we doing here? Remember, it's all about GNSO improvements. Part of it was communications, and then a slice of that was to make the GNSO.ICANN.org more usable. The problem is, what does that mean? Well, it means different things depending on who you talk to. So we decided to try and interview GNSO power users, and unfortunately, in our drive to have something by Seoul, we had to start this process in August when a lot of people were on vacation. But we got names from Glenn, our secretariat, got names from you guys. We got volunteers from the business constituency after Chris Chaplow posted a notice there. So in all, we had 24 names offered to us as people who would like to tell us how they use the GNSO site because of vacations and whatever. We actually wound up interviewing 8 of them, and here they are. Now, another slice on the same information is if you look at these people by what their role is, we have some really good diversity here. If you'll forgive me for referring to Chuck Jones as the ultimate deep insider, but the guy reads everything and follows everything, so that's how I characterized him. You'll see one person there who's really not a GNSO user, but it's the gal who did the redesign of the ALAC website, and we thought it would be useful to hear her recommendations on the GNSO site. We also have a couple of people in there who are multilingual. It was very important to us to make sure the site works for non-English speakers. So we feel like it's a pretty good foundation. As I interviewed these people, we did begin to hear issues repeat, which is what you want. You want to find the patterns and know that you're addressing what most people are perceiving. Then all of this was backed up by the research that Revere Group did. Remember, they had a survey on ICANN.org, responded to by 230 people. I'm showing them as a faceless army because we don't know who all of them are. But they also did 9 interviews of people. So we have a lot of good data on what people want from the site. And so what were we talking to them about? Well, the main question I asked is, what are you trying to do when you come to gnso.icann.org? And the 3 top answers were like this. First one is find a document. This is like 90% of what people are trying to do. Unfortunately, all of them agree it's pretty difficult. Some of them, well, on different days you're looking for different things, but it all does come down to information retrieval. Second most common answer to what are you trying to do is checking the calendar. Some folks are looking ahead to see when the next meeting is. Some are looking backwards to find a transcript or a recording, but there is a lot of calendar activity. We got a lot of suggestions on ways the calendar can be improved. The third most common answer to what are you trying to do when you come to the site is find the latest on a policy issue. Now, I got to say that on that, there's no silver bullet. It's not something that you can solve solely by website design because it requires types of content that we don't actually make, but we can try to make progress. So to recap those answers of what GNSO power users ask for, it's information retrieval first and foremost, calendar-related activity second, and then part of what they expressed on trying to find the latest on policy issues is we were repeatedly asked if we could organize information based on issues, where right now it's kind of organized based on your understanding of how the GNSO itself is structured. So these became our chief criteria for deciding how to redistribute things on the site. There's a fantastic potential here because we're moving the site from a static site to a dynamic site. In a static site, if you put an object out on the site, there it is, and if you want to find it another place, you have to make another copy of it and put it in that other place. With a dynamic site, all the content goes in a database and it gets tagged. Tagged in this context just means it has descriptive words associated with it. So in a dynamic site, if someone's looking for this object, but what they're really looking for are things that are yellow, they will find it. If someone else is looking for flowers, they'll find it. And if someone else is looking up plants, they'll still find the same object. It's not 3 copies of it. It's the same one object, but it's being presented dynamically whenever it's queried for with these tags. So this is fantastic news for us, actually, because one of the things GNSO users ask for over and over is to be able to find material from multiple angles. Now, here's some other stuff that Chris and Ken and I added proactively as a team. No one asked us for it, but we, in interviewing GNSO power users, we never talked to any newcomers to the site. But I know from experience, if you're a newcomer and you start reading the GNSO site, it makes you feel like this guy. This is what you get if you go to images.google.com and search on moron. We don't want that feeling at all. We want to get rid of that guy and give a feeling of friendliness and of welcoming people. So we really tried hard to advocate for beginners and newcomers along the way. Another value that we held as we went through is to try and humanize ICANN. Some of the discussions that we have start to verge on nastiness. I think it's because we're caught up in the abstraction of the policy work, and we looked for opportunities to remind folks that there are people behind this, and that, you know, we're all just doing the best we can to solve tough problems, and we should, you know, think of each other as humans instead of demons or saints or cartoons. And then finally, we made it an aim to break down silos. Right now, if you go to gnso.icann.org, you can't really get to ICANN.org or maybe the ALAC or the GAC or the CCNSO. So we looked for ways to make the site integrate more seamlessly with the rest of ICANN. So to implement all this, you may recall that Chris and Ken and I met in Marina Del Rey for 3 days for what we called the design scrum. And we quickly found that we each had a different perspective on this, which turned out to be great. It helped us make sure the site works from multiple viewpoints. I had done all those interviews with the GNSO users, so I was really trying to figure out what would be the ideal site for them. Ken had just gone through a process of tagging almost everything on the GNSO site, so he had a lot of perspective into what is really there right now. And then Chris, with his developmental experience with Andalusia.com and his company, would keep us grounded in what was feasible. When we came up with crazy ideas, he would let us know what the level of effort was required. And I want to take a moment to just commend Chris to the skies because he was fantastic. It was a generous donation of time. We were working on a time zone that was difficult for him, but even though it was 2 or 3 a.m. on his body, he never complained, never got irritable, and just it was fantastic working with him. So thanks to Chris.
This is Ken. Amen to that.
Way to go, Chris.
Here, here. Thanks, Chris.
So in a moment, I'm about to drill down and show you what this team came up with, but are there any questions on this foundational stuff before we move on? Kate, hearing none, I'm going to move along. So, all right, if you had to redesign the GNSO website, where would you begin? Well, I'll pose this question also. What do these three things have in common? Santa, the Easter Bunny, the perfect website. Well, these are three things that don't exist. So we hope we can manage expectations.
Good thing our kids aren't on this call.
What? A lot of the things that are problems to a GNSO user are actually not on gnso.icann.org. For example, all the wikis. So all we can do is keep trying to make progress and value continuous improvement, but it won't be perfect out of the gate. So this is very much phase one. So at this point, I think I'll let Ken speak to how our process began.
Be happy to. This is a very common approach that is taken in work like building a website. The items that you see in the columns, each of those little things that, in PowerPoint became a little rectangular block, and you can't see that here, but that was what we were working with. The idea behind this is to go to the current site, and that's what I did, and try to figure out what the discrete categories of elements are on the existing site. And so each one of the items that you see, some of the ones that you see that have underscores are actual pages and that we could link back to if we needed to see them during our work. And what this particular document looks like, I took all those individual items and then I slid them around into groupings that made sense to me, Ken. And this was my input to the team when we met in Marina Del Rey. As you'll note, the top column headings is not what we ended up with, and that's the result of good collaboration and using a lot of other resources and materials. But just to give you an idea, that's the process that we started with to take the idea of what was out there today and then try to group it into categories that would make sense to people as they approach the new website. So I'll turn it back over to Scott.
Thank you, Ken. This is also what Revere Group called searching for affinities. You know, the current site sort of grew organically, and you have to look in odd places for things. Like if you want to see a list of working groups, you have to know to click under mailing list. So we were trying to figure out how things are grouped logically and just make it more clear. So here's our proposed homepage. Now, this is what's called a wireframe. It's not literally what the homepage would look like. These are all just placeholders so that we can talk in terms of features and functions and what we would like to do. If you direct your attention to the upper right-hand corner, you will see right away some items that are not on the current GNSO site, such as a search box. We don't have search on GNSO right now, and yet we found from our research that's the number one thing people want to do when they get there. So in our proposed site, there would be a search box on every page. There's also something new that you'll see there. There's a lot of confusion that people have expressed about all the acronyms that come up in ICANN and even in GNSO in particular. So we have a little app that also would be on every page called Acronym Helper. And we got very excited about this idea, and actually Chris had one of the developers at his company actually gin up a little experimental one that you can even look at while you're listening to me if you want. It's at andalusia.com/ICANN. Now what this is if you're reading a document and there's an acronym there you're not familiar with, you just type it in here and it immediately tells you what the letters in the acronym stand for. And the idea of it is to be very light and nimble. It doesn't then proceed to give you definitions and history and all that, and that's intentional. We have acronym tools and glossaries and things on the ICANN site, but what happens is that they don't get maintained, and thus they fall out of usefulness as time goes by. So the thought here is if you just need to be reminded what an acronym stands for, it's a simple little text file. It's easy to update, and it's also translatable. It would be easy to maintain it in several languages. So we think this is an exciting idea that will just help people stay oriented as they work through GNSO issues. So you also see the main tabs across horizontally. Oh, before I go on to that, I want to point out right under the word login, you'll see a couple of stripes. Looks like darker blue boxes and maybe gray or lighter blue boxes. Those are placeholders, and the idea here is that all these landing pages that you're about to see would be translated into at least the five UN languages and possibly more. And these boxes would hold the two-letter code for each language, and if the site page is available in your language, then the initials for your language would become active there. So, for example, if this page is available in French, then FR would be in one of the boxes. It would be dark and active, and you could click on it and see the page in French. So I'll go from there to briefly describing these tabs across the top.
Hey, Scott. This is Steve. When I went over to Andalusia as directed, I got bounced from the presentation, and now I'm waiting for a response so that I can re-enter the presentation. Do you mind letting me in the door again?
I would love to. Hang on a second. I think we can do that. Does that do the job?
That did it. Thank you.
Excellent. What'd you think of? Did you see the little acronym helper?
I did. It's really handy. It didn't have a couple of the things that I used as test cases, but I know it wasn't intended to be everything at this point, just an example.
That's correct. Actually, the demo file that they grabbed to use it is, I think, 7 years old. So it is missing some stuff, but you can see what the intent is.
Yep, that's great. Very handy.
Okay, so looking across the horizontal nav here, you'll see let me describe the home page a little bit. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out how to express this in the amount of time we have. First thing we have when you land on the home page is a box in the left there that we've labeled What is GNSO. This is reflecting some work that the Revere Group is doing in their update of ICANN.org. They've reserved that left column upper space as a place where you can come if you just land there and you're completely disoriented. So if you don't know what GNSO stands for, or you want a glossary, or you would like to click through and see the structure of the organization, you can do that immediately once you land on the GNSO's homepage. Next to that, you'll see a box labeled What's Hot. This is just a kind of a spotlight area, and it can be whatever we think is important that has just happened. For example, the CCT issues their final recommendations. Well, that could go in the What's Hot box for that day. Next to it, you'll see another box called Highlights. And this is a similar idea, except the way we've envisioned this, the What's Hot box is reactive. It's telling you something fairly important that has just happened, where the Highlights box would be proactive. It's what I'm used to calling from the business world house ads. You know, if we wanted to announce something that's upcoming in GNSO, then there's a way to immediately draw attention to it here. And it wouldn't have to be just all text either. It could be a nice big graphic button or, you know, whatever would be suitable.
Hey, Scott, may I interrupt you for 1 second? This is Steve.
Yes, please do, Steve.
That highlights there and then the highlights on the lower left, and I had exactly the same question, what's the difference between what's hot and highlights, and I'm still not sure that I get it, reactive, proactive. Will that be made more clear simply by virtue of what's stated in that box as opposed to the title?
Yes, and frankly, it would not be important for a user to realize, oh, this box is reactive and this one is forward-looking. You know, it's just, we're just telling you conceptually we were trying to make room for reporting what has happened and for announcing things that are going to happen. So I probably should have kept it that simple. Does that answer your question?
I think so. I guess I'm still not certain that I'm satisfied with the titles of those boxes. I think they could maybe be more descriptive if you're, as opposed to requiring an explanation, but I guess if in the What's Hot box it's going to say registry, registrar separation or IRT or something that is actually happening right now that is hot and highlights, give me a couple more real-world examples of the differences between those two.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Where would the new GTLD round fit? Is that What's Hot or is that highlights?
I imagine that would be highlights, but let me back up and just point out, all this labeling that you see in the boxes is for our internal discussion.
Got it.
A user who finally sees the actual site, it won't say What's Hot, it won't say highlights. That's why these are called wireframes. They're just placeholders to give you conceptually what's going on. This is not to scale or proportion, so it's really not exactly what things will look like. It could be different colors. So I think I stepped in a hole there by not explaining that these labels are not literal. The ones up on the tabs at this point are intended to be, but of course with this dynamic presentation that we're moving to in Drupal, any label can be changed quite easily. So,
understood. That's very helpful in explaining what this is and isn't. Okay, thanks, Scott.
Okay, sure. And then the other thing that's quite evident on the homepage here is the calendar. And again, so we made it completely accessible the moment you get to GNSO. The screen capture that Ken provided for us is from the at-large site, and it's a Google Calendar. So we're not saying, and so we have to use Google Calendar. We're just telling you a calendar will be there. And some of the functions that we've called out is that people were begging us in the user interviews for a way to look at a schedule and see when their group is meeting without having to parse through what every other group is doing. So we're calling for that functionality in the calendar. If you go play with the one on the ALAC site, it has a lot of this stuff, just to give you an idea of what's possible. There are lots of great ways to filter what you see on this calendar and then click through to actually get documents related to a meeting on a given date. I don't really have time to plunge into this right now, but just know that this will be a very functional and obviously easy to access calendar. So now I'll finally get to the tabs that I keep seeing I'm going to get to. Heading across the top there, About is intended as a place for the newcomer. And you see this as almost as a web convention now. Almost every business site you go to, there is a spot where they just tell you what their company is about, who the corporate management team is, and all that. So this is similar to that. no actual policy work would be done there. It's for a person who just needs to get oriented and find out, you know, what's going on and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be going into more depth on each of these in a moment. Ongoing work is the tab where you would find things by issue. And again, we'll show you that page in a moment and go into more detail. Library is where you can find documents that are current and also the older ones. You know, it's everything from the archive up to the moment. And they're sorted in a different way than they are from the ongoing work page, which I'll go into in a moment. Group activities is intended as the page you would hit when you're actually in a group inside the GNSO and you want to get to your work. So this is going to be a front end that will help you find your way to the various wikis. And it will include everyone from the council on down to the newest, smallest little drafting team. Basics is something that's pretty new to this site, and this is another place for newcomers to get oriented in the sense that on issues. So, you know, you could be kind of an expert on ICANN, you could be deeply involved in the structure and know a lot, but a new issue could come up where, for that particular issue, you too are a beginner, and you wish you could just get a little foundation so you have context for, you know, making decisions about that issue. This is where you would come, and we'll go into that more if time permits. And then the last tab you'll see is news. That should be kind of self-explanatory. It's a place where we can put announcements. We are proposing a podcast for Policy Matters that GNSO could link to there if they want to. So that's the general lay of the land there.
A podcast.
What's that?
I'm sorry, it's Mason. A podcast, I'll just put it a different way. And I don't mean this as rudely as it sounds, but why would that be a good thing to do?
Couple of reasons. One is that almost everything that ICANN does seems to be extremely lengthy. It seems like all our reports, if they're 2 pages, they're 40 pages.
That is very true.
So podcast is something that would be made to be brief so that if you want to get up to speed rapidly, you can put that thing on in audio format and listen to it while you're multitasking and doing something else. And secondary reason for it is there are a lot of people that want to use downtime when they're commuting or they're doing their cardio on a treadmill or whatever, and it's just completely downtime unless they can pop on some headphones and actually listen to a briefing.
Okay.
And,
that sounds good. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hey, Scott, this is Ken. I just wanted to, since you may not be looking at your clock, so we got 15 minutes, and I was going to suggest to you that we focus on ongoing work, library, and group activities, where the real meat of all this is, but, of course, it's up to you.
Thank you. That's a great comment. I will go to the ongoing work tab, because this is where we especially would like your input. So what you see here, this is a wireframe again, but the idea is that you clicked on the ongoing work tab, and this is kind of the landing page for ongoing work. So what you see on the left is two choices, policy activities and other activities. And what we have in mind there under other activities is stuff that is not actual internet policy. So GNSO improvements, for example, would go under there. But I want to point your attention really more to the central window there where you see policy activities listed and you see a couple of tabs. We found that people wanted to think about policy work in different ways. So one way you can find things is by issue, and we called it by title. This is just the names of the different PDPs that are in process. They're in alphabetical order. For some people, that's just a very intuitive way to find the issue they want. But you see this other tab that says by phase. You can also think of it, and again, these are just placeholders that they would be spelled out even though they're not right now, but this breaks the policy process into issues that are in analysis, And then at some point, there is an official PDP begun and a group is chartered, and then that topic is now in policy development. So it would show up under the development category. And then at some point, there's final results. There could be consensus policy, or they might be final recommendations, whatever it is. It's accepted by the council and then the board, and then that issue moves into implementation. And in the new GNSO improvements, there's a requirement that work groups also express their learnings and that policies that are passed are examined later to see if they were effective. So we've left a place for post-implementation, or what we've labeled results. So in this sense, you would look up policy issues by where they are in the process. So there's a tiny bit of a dashboard aspect to this. For the policy issues you're not following so closely, you can look here and just see, oh, hey, it's moved into development. So then it would cue you to look up more about it. You also see a little plus sign floating over here. This would be something that you could expand if you don't know what post-expiration domain name recovery is, for example. You would click on this and you'd see a one-paragraph summary that explains what the issue is. So taking Tedner as an example, let's say that you clicked on that. You now see that we're a level further down than we've been so far, and you see that breadcrumbs are starting across the top to remind you where you are. And currently on the GNSO side, if you want to back out, you have to hit your back key over and over. With these breadcrumbs, if you want to back out, you can just click on any portion of the path, and you will bounce back out to there. And we're presuming that you clicked on post-expiration domain name recovery, and now you see all the stuff that you're used to seeing, whatever's related to it, agreements, presentations, reports, transcripts, all that stuff. And this is just an example of if you had clicked other work instead of policy work, this is what we propose it would call up. The other thing worth mentioning is that all this left nav stuff and even the tabs, if you hover your mouse over them, the submenus that are packed underneath them would fly out so that you can see what's under it. When you first arrive, it would be in a closed state in order to present a clean, uncluttered look that you can take in, and then you basically can go around and either do flyovers or click to expand stuff in order to find what you need. Any thoughts or comments on this two-pronged approach that's by issue and by its status in the development process? Do you like that idea?
This is Mason. Actually, I think that's a very smart approach. I mean, it accommodates two approaches to each one. I mean, if you're focused on multiple issues like many people are, the deadline approach gives you an idea of what's more pressing in terms of where you need to focus your participation. I like that a lot.
Me too. I think it's just great.
This is Ken. I just wanted to follow up. We got some input the other day from our policy staff. Those actual titles like analysis and development and implement, they will actually change to be what the final PDP recommendation is out of the work team. And I think they're leaning toward initiation and some, they have different labels, but we'll make those consistent so that everybody will be able to follow them.
Great.
All right. I'm going to skip over to the library. Before I go there, I wanted to point out that there are a lot of ways that a typical user wants to view data. What we've talked about so far is basically seeking data because of what it means. You know, I need to find out more about DNSSEC. I don't understand it properly, so that's why I'm looking up DNSSEC. But sometimes in the GNSO, you don't look up stuff for what it means. You look up stuff for what it is. And what I mean by that is if you're tracking an issue and you know that the council has passed resolutions about it, you want the resolutions because they're resolutions. You may not even know what is in them, so you want it because of what it is. It could be the same for minutes or a transcript or something. And then another view on things, you may want a piece of data because of when it is. This is why we turn on CNN, for example. We just know we will get the latest. We don't know if it will be entertainment news or some horrible tidal wave in a foreign country or stock prices. We just want to know what's new. So the remaining tabs on the page reflect some of this. The library is what we are using as sorting things by what it is. So if you look down in the placeholders that we put in the left nav, you'll see now things are called what ICANN calls them, agreements or charters or mailing lists. Or, you know, there are a lot of times that our people we interviewed told us when they want to look up something, and all they remember is that it was a final report. They don't know what group put it out or, you know, they just know what it is. So the library is where you look up stuff by what we started jokingly calling its isness. So what you get when you hit the library tab is the landing page is immediately giving you advanced search. It may not really say keyword year, month. You know, these are placeholders for basically the Google advanced search box. But some innovations we're adding, some of the interviewees told us, look, if I want to know the latest on registration abuse policy, I want substantive documents. And when I search right now, I get every time Joe or Murphy mentioned it in some phone call or, you know, it's something that's not authoritative or helpful. Well, so you can go through here and with these little check boxes, click, you know, I want registration abuse policy, but I only want the charter related to that. Or I only want, you know, a presentation on that topic. So it will restrict your search results and help you get to what you want much more rapidly. You'll also notice a little button there that says exclude. So you could click that to flip the paradigm around. You can say, I want to search on whatever topic, but I know I don't want a presentation on it, and I know I don't want a charter on it. So I click those things, and they will be excluded from the search result. So this is our idea of how you can start finding things on the GNSO site much more rapidly. One of the problems we have yet to solve is there are some people that really don't want to use a search string. They want to try and browse and navigate to what they're looking for. So we still have to figure out how that's possible. Right now what we have is fairly feeble. You know, if you try and find correspondence, supposedly you can find it by who sent it or who received it. Everybody agrees that those tools are not working very well. So this is an area, the navigation side of it, we still have more work to do.
Hey, Scott, this might be a good time to just harken back to the yellow flower example where he talked about, you know, it's yellow and it's flower and it's a plant. This is this concept we were going at with this site. So in the library, you know, you can find this thing by bylaw or by contract or by search, whereas it's also going to appear in ongoing work, and it's also going to appear in group activities, but it's going to be just one thing, one document, one time, stored but tagged in multiple ways.
Excellent point. Thank you, Ken. So we are getting towards the end of the hour now. Would you like to respond at this point? Should I try and describe one more tab? What's the most helpful thing I can do?
Well, I'm sorry, Mason speaking. I think we have a couple of options. I have to leave the call here in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I can turn the chair over to Steve, and the rest of the team can continue for a while, or we can stop now and ask whatever we have time for questions. How does the group feel about that?
How much more time do you think you would need, Scott?
Scott, I would show the group activities slide and then call it.
Realistically, this could go on for another 10 to 12 minutes, I would think. One other thing we might want to consider while everyone's on the phone is, okay, now that you see how much there is to present, how to package this for your various constituencies and the stakeholders that you want to know about it. You can see it would be difficult to get this into 15 minutes. You wouldn't get to explain any of the reasoning behind the choices or, you know, there's just a lot here. So,
all right, so, you know, I'll leave it up to the group. If you all want to continue with Scott's presentation, that's fine. To answer your question from the registrar's point of view, Scott, I wouldn't ask you to condense it into 15 minutes. I would frankly set up an hour and let you go through it as you have here because it's been very valuable. I don't see any point in trying to shorten that.
Thank you.
And this is Steve. I completely agree. As I see this, I think the walking through it is what makes it valuable, not just flashing the site up there and saying there it is. I think having a full hour is very valuable. And I guess since Mason needs to go, I would recommend that we keep going for another 10 or 12 minutes. I would like to see the rest of it. And before Mason goes, I guess I would at this point say, you know, if one of your first questions was, do you endorse it? It's a resounding yes. I think that this is actually phenomenal. I'm really impressed by this.
I have to agree. This is outstanding work.
I mean, I love the way it's organized. I love the general look about it. I didn't hear what you said about login, but I expect I know what that means. And I'm also, just to pass out yet another compliment, I'm so impressed by your presentation of all of this, Scott, with the helpful graphics and the different examples and so forth. I can see why you are the communications director. It's making me feel inadequate regarding my PowerPoint and presentation.
All you have to do is read the same book I read, Steve, and you'll be just as good.
Yeah, well,
slideology.
No, I think this is really good work, and the scrum that the three of you did to come up with this, I'm very, very impressed by.
Yeah, I have to agree, and I'm sorry, I do need to go, so I will turn the chair over to Steve. And Scott, just on behalf of everybody, Scott and Ken, excuse me, thank you both for a very, very helpful 45 minutes, and I look forward to reading the rest of the outcome of the meeting. So excuse me for having to sign off now, but I now turn the chair over to Steve's capable hands.
Very good. Good luck. See ya.
So long.
Thank you.
And in all your thanks, please continue including Chris. His contribution was just as big as mine or Ken's and very valuable. So we really appreciate everything he's done.
And I spent some time with Chris early on and mousing around Andalusia.com, which is why you can imagine just how valuable he'd be. That is just such a good site. So I'm sure the what's feasible was a very important contribution.
Yes.
Okay. Well, keep going. Let's see if we can conclude by quarter past the hour. I think that would be great. So let's shoot for 15 minutes or less, and then we'll convene.
I think that's feasible. Thank you very much, Steve. So I am now on the group activities page, and this is what we said is actually meant to be a useful workspace for group members. So if you just want to come and learn about the groups, really that would be better done under the About tab for beginners. If you actually are in a group and you want to do the work, this is where we hope you'll find useful materials. So the landing page here, one of the things I'll mention in the kind of upper right, you see this thing that we've labeled for now photo or slideshow. And this is pointing towards some of the value we said of wanting to humanize ICANN and help people, conduct themselves more warmly and professionally. We would just like to have pictures from the meetings and stuff there in a way that rotates gently so that, you know, there's a bunch of photos in a loop and they're just sort of going past while you're there. And you begin to realize there are some good people behind these policy decisions.
I really like that as well, because the old GNSO website was so doggone flat. This is business for everybody, but at the same time, it can be made more friendly and more fun and a little bit warmer. It doesn't have to be just a word perfect Times New Roman document, you know?
Exactly, and there will be plenty of that still, you know, as you click down and you get to the documents. It's everything you are used to at ICANN. This is just, you know, one little place where we can do a shout-out to acknowledge it's okay to have a light heart about some of this. And I'd be interested in getting your take on this next box, Steve. We just put a placeholder here. We didn't know what to call. We called it fun stuff. And we wondered if the GNSO community would like a space on the page that they get to populate. And the thought here is there might be someone who had a grandbaby and they would love to mention it, or, you know, that something that's not necessarily work-related, but it's the kind of stuff people do talk about when they are working together a lot. We could have this be moderated, but we thought it would be perhaps an interesting experiment to leave a place where folks can contribute anything about their hobbies, or I don't know. Does this thought make any sense to you, or what do you make of that?
Sure, and I'll draw a corollary. Within the VeriSign intranet homepage, there's a Meet Your Colleague section, and it's typically a week long. Nominate somebody who you'd like to get to know a little bit better, and there's usually a picture, and they've usually just run in a triathlon or something.
There you go.
But that sort of thing really does humanize this, and I guess I would be very receptive to that. I'm not sure what the broader community would think, but it's also something that you can see how it flies, and if it becomes too static or outdated or people not willing to contribute or populate it, then you can collapse it and do something else.
Exactly. Okay, that's excellent input. Along the idea of trying to keep things a little bit more positive, the box is called Group News, and what we've labeled for now Publications and Milestones. What you would find in here is nothing but links. These links will be dynamically populated by Drupal, and you would have just the most recent one on top, and then there would be maybe four or five, and then when a link is six links old, it just rolls off the bottom. So this would be self-updating. And the thought behind Publications and Milestones is sometimes we get the feeling in ICANN that everything is just mired in gridlock and nothing happens, but it really does move forward. And we would like to kind of give a little reward or shout out to any group that gets something done. So if you finish a version of your report, you just post a little statement. You know, if your team is finished and it's done, it would have a quick little link there that just says thanks for the work done. Or, you know, if you hit milestones that are within your charter, you could just put up a little announcement. So you would look here and you would get a sense of what is actually being accomplished by the collective GNSO. Group news would be more stuff along the lines of, okay, we're putting out a call for volunteers, or, you know, really it can be anything, but it's more the ongoing work and less related to necessarily being final product. So what's below all this? Let's pretend for a second that you are a member of the council, and so you click the council link. These, again, are all placeholders, but similarly, these are boxes that are being updated with links that the most recent goes on top. We actually don't know what things for specifically a council member would want gathered here, but we can find that out. And the idea is right now you have to, as a council member, again, for example, you have to go all over the site in order to find the resources you need just to do your work. Here you would have a kind of a tip of the iceberg of all these different resources. And the reason we've set them up so that there's maybe three links in a module and that's it is so that if, for example, what you're really after is an agenda, you don't have to scroll past an endless list of resolutions to get to it.
Yeah.
But if you do want resolutions, you just click the More button and you go to a page where all the resolutions are chained together. Another thing that Revere Group proposed on ICANN.org that we want to steal is that this could be customizable. So if you find out that mostly what you do in this example is you need agendas but you don't really need the subcommittee links as much, you could click
on a little arrow on the agendas box, and it would actually scoot it up the page and put subcommittees underneath it. And you could keep clicking like that if you wanted until agendas was the top thing on the page. So what I'm saying is that this could be somewhat customizable for you. And when you return to this page, it will remember you, and things will be organized in a manner that is helpful to you. And
right.
This same concept could be, you know, under stakeholder groups, under groups, teams. You know, we can do it almost everywhere. We don't have a wireframe to show you for groups and teams, but what we envision there is you click that, and for once you finally find in one place a list of all the groups and teams that are working right now. And you then click from there to their wiki or their landing page or whatever they have. Those would also be, it would just be a short text list, but each one would have that little plus sign next to it. You could click the plus sign and see a 4 or 5 description of what the team is and what it's for and what it hopes to accomplish. Then if you want to know more, you just click on the team and you go to their in-depth material.
Okay.
So that's what that is.
Sounds good.
We did not make a wireframe for the basics page because it would look a lot like wireframes you've seen already. But the notion there is, again, that this would be foundational material. So, for example, we will probably be looking at who is issues, I imagine, for more than a year to come. And there are all kinds of aspects of it. You know, there's internationalized data. There are privacy issues. There are accuracy issues. But if you're a newcomer, you may not even have a firm grip on what is who is. So if you went to the basics page, you would see many of these topics listed, and under each one of them would be resources that are introductory. So we plan to do a podcast episode on who is, and you'll have someone like Dave Piscatello who just in 10 minutes tells you what the history of it is, why it's an issue right now, might characterize some of the different viewpoints, but stop short, doesn't make any recommendation, doesn't try to do policy work. It's just the kind of orientation you would need so that then you can go on and from a more informed place do policy work. So basics would be the page you come to for briefings and orientation. Finally, I'm showing the news tab, and as we mentioned, this is where you would go if you just want to know what's recent. So groups can put their announcements here. Issues of policy update could be linked from here. It might be a module that shows you what has just opened for comment. And here's another new thing that we can do now that we're moving to Drupal. We can set up RSS feeds. Now, one of the requests we got from a lot of the users we interviewed is we're asking them, how should we redo the GNSO site? And the honest answer is, I wish I didn't have to go to the site at all. I wish, this is what the users would say, I wish it would just push to me every time there are new council resolutions, it would just show up in my syndicated reader. So,
yeah.
Okay, we can do that. We can set up a bunch of feeds. They can be very narrow. If you just want, you know, minutes from a certain work group, you can get a link sent you every time those minutes are posted. Or if you want resolutions, or, you know, we can start taking requests on what feeds people desire. They're not difficult to set up from a technical viewpoint. And then it would just push into your browser or your RSS reader, and you may not have to come and navigate this at all.
Hey, Scott, how much redundancy will there be in this with the actual ICANN site? I'm sure that there's a good amount of overlap on things, request for comments that, or there could be. What's your thinking on that?
That's an excellent question. There will be a fair amount of overlap. Some of these boxes that you see that we've just labeled TBD for to be determined, they're actually placeholders that we want to make available to other groups within ICANN. So, for example, it is not a GNSO activity to plan the international meetings, but certainly GNSO members would want to be able to link out to the Seoul site, for example. So a button for that could be placed here by
corporate affairs, and then you've got a handy way to, you know, to get other resources that GNSO people care about but are not owned by GNSO. Some of the nav that we're showing you, it actually mirrors what ICANN.org is going to become, especially the About tab and the notion of arranging policy issues by what stage they're in. These are all things that have already been harmonized with where Revere Group is taking ICANN.org. Does that get to your question?
Yes.
All right. Well, I think I will wrap it up here. We're very much eager for your input. Chris has bravely volunteered to be the manager of that input, so if you would have more thoughts, feel free to send them to chris@andalusia.com. You obviously can send them to me or anyone you want, but Chris is going to be kind of you know, managing whatever comes in, so that would be a good starting point. And
hey, Scott, the last question, and I'm sorry if I did miss it, that login, is that like with many websites that if you are a frequent user that you could customize the page in some way? Is that what login would mean?
Yes, that is the point of that. Thank you for bringing that up, Steve. It's actually a placeholder. Because there is a desire to have some of those customization features that I mentioned earlier, but we don't know right now if they would be implemented through the use of cookies or by requiring an actual login. The sentiment at this point is that login probably would be later, possibly a phase two thing. We don't have enough advanced features in mind right now to make a login necessary.
I think that makes actually very good sense. It's one thing in a My Yahoo context where I want to follow two particular sports teams and I don't really care about entertainment news and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that this, while people may have specific things that they look for each and every time, I'm not so sure that it warrants customization rather than just a familiarity with how to navigate the site.
This is Ken. Let me just interject that there's another team, and Julie's actually working with them, that's looking into a constituency database, and this login could also play a role there. If it turns out we do get requirements for a constituency database, that may be one way to protect the information and provide additional features and capabilities.
Oh, okay. So that you might literally, if you had documents that were being worked on by a specific work team, you'd need to log in order to actually obtain access.
No, not so much that. It was more of a capability to get all of the community's names and identifications into a common database. This was actually in the BGC report. And, of course, there are issues of privacy, and it all hasn't been worked out yet. But if such a database were to exist and it were to be maintained inside the Drupal framework that we have, login might be an important way for you to get to your profile and to update your information. It might be also the place where you would subscribe to feeds, you would put yourself on mailing lists. There's a whole lot of different things you could do in that profile world, including adding a picture if you wanted to put one up. You wouldn't be required to, that kind of stuff.
Got it. Okay.
So it's a great question, Stephen. Right now it is a later thing because in phase two we have to tackle the thorny issues of what collaborative tools we want to improve and or use. And at that point, it will probably be more apparent what login is for. But we're just reserving, you know, the option that potentially in the future that would be necessary.
Great. Makes excellent sense. Okay, well, thank you very much for the tour. The luxury hotel.
Yeah. Just a little joke at the end. The concept seems sound. I don't know what this bottle really is, but I doubt it's perfect eye remover. It's all in the execution now, and we'll do our best to pull it off.
Oh, man.
That's great. That's great. Hey, well, once again, thank you very much. It's a great presentation, and I think the website is wonderful. I would not only endorse it, I would be very pleased to ride on the coattails of Ken, Chris, and Scott. So what do you think the next step is in order to organize a meeting like that, which we discussed before, reserve an hour and invite come one, come all, take a look at the site and comment if you wish?
How do you think we organize that? I'm happy to do that anytime you wish. You can shoot an email either to Glenn and Gisela or to me. I'm at your beck and call. If you think it's worth an hour of your constituency's time, I'm happy to set up the Adobe Connect thing and a call, and we'll get it going.
Okay.
I do think
it would, and why don't I test people's interest in doing something like that? I would encourage them to participate, knowing that it's at a time where they can then express their preferences and their likes and dislikes, and it's now or hold your peace. I think that it's built out far enough that they should want to do that. But why don't I take their temperature to see, is there a single screenshot like of the home page that I could include in such an email, or is that something you want to reserve for the grand unveiling?
No, if you think it would be helpful in causing people to understand what we're talking about, we have this wireframe of the homepage that maybe then your invitation can say, you know, find out what these placeholders mean and more. I don't know.
What I would like to do. I think it'll spark more interest if we include that picture.
Okay.
Do you mind sending me just that one?
I think Ken already has it available as a PDF, so it'd be easy to do.
I do. I will send it to you as a PDF.
That's great. All right. Well, at least within the registry constituency, I'll send that and solicit people's opinion as to would they be willing. And I guess you'll never be able to get everybody at the perfect time, so I could suggest a time. It could be in or around the registry constituency meeting 2 weeks from now. I hate to wait 2 weeks, but at the same time, you blink your eyes and 2 weeks goes by.
Yeah.
So I'll do that, and perhaps Mason can do the same thing, and we can think about any other user groups. I'm not sure how to communicate with them, with other user groups, to see if they would be interested in attending that kind of a call. Any ideas from ICANN staff as to how we get a broader group, and if it's appropriate to send it out to a broader list, to put it in an ICANN alert, or...
Hey, Scott.
This is Scott. You seem to feel pretty good about what we have so far, so that makes me feel confident that we could expose it to a broader audience. We could just post an announcement on the GNSO homepage and, you know, use the normal announcement
Well, I think if we put it on the GNSO homepage, nobody will see it.
hey, Scott. Scott, this is Ken. If we do anything outside of Steve's registry constituency, I suggest we bring it up on our Monday staff call and let Denise and others weigh in on that, because they may have some other ideas in mind with respect to upcoming to Seoul and how much this material, you know. the broader the group you involve, the more I think we should probably get some inside staff approval on that.
Yeah, I think that's right, because number one, you don't want to steal the thunder of unveiling a new website, and two, too many cooks in the kitchen mean we'll never actually get it done. So somewhere in the middle there is the art of, I guess, choosing the right kind of people and exposing it to them. We I think are a representative group, as being on this communications working group team, I think truly if we want to, our word is if we endorse it, that it's good enough. Maybe the registry constituency is a pretty small group. There are 14 registries. That's probably a decently self-contained group, and maybe the registrar constituency too. Maybe we don't need to broaden it beyond that.
Yeah, it also makes it impossible, the bigger the group, for any kind of meaningful interaction.
Yeah. All right, well, let's do that in parallel. I'll solicit the opinion of the registry constituency, and you talk to the rest of the policy staff and see what you think, and we'll coordinate in the next week or two.
All right. And, Steve, this is Scott. Just to try and set some expectations, actually, the ICANN web development team is driving to try to have the wireframe pages that I've shown you so far available to look at in Seoul as something you could at least click on and get a little bit of a feel for.
Okay, great.
So we're trying to figure out how to present that in Seoul. One thought was on Constituency Day to take a few minutes, but I could also just be in the lobby on lunch hours with a laptop, you know, or something. We can figure out what's appropriate. But our hope
That's a good idea as well, because then those who are interested can make the time or find you, and I think it's
right.
Great.
Yeah, not to mention which I've heard him give this excellent presentation a couple of times, and there'll probably be a few more. I'll be able to do it myself after a bit. I've memorized it.
That's great. Hey, guys, thank you very much for the call. Does anybody else have any other business before we convene? All right, we are adjourned. Thank you very much for a great presentation and a great meeting.
Great, thank you guys. Nice
job,
everybody.
Bye.
Have a nice week.
Bye-bye.